The humanitarian crisis in Iraq and its neighbouring countries is worsening by the day as more and more people are fleeing their homes to escape the escalating sectarian violence. The United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees says there are now an estimated 4.2 million Iraqis displaced either within the country or in neighbouring nations, with a further 60,000 leaving their homes every month. The majority of those Iraqis who manage to flee the country end up in neighbouring Jordan, Syria or Lebanon. Many of them are destitute, struggling to survive without proper jobs or housing, with no education or healthcare for their children. A surprisingly high percentage of these Iraqis are also Christians, who've been targeted disproportionately by the violence that is devastating their homeland. And as my colleague Susie Hodges has been finding out, their plight is largely being overlooked.
All Iraqi civilians are falling victim to the vicious sectarian violence and chaos that is tearing apart their homeland. But Christians are often being especially targeted. Church leaders and rights groups say Iraqi Christians are being driven out of their homes systematically by Muslim extremists, and some have described it as ethnic cleansing or even genocide. Before the US-led invasion of Iraq in 2003, there were around 800,000 Christians in Iraq, but now there is estimated to be only half that number. Bombings, kidnappings, threats and attacks, combined with worsening security, have forced thousands of Iraqi Christians to flee their homes. Some districts, such as Dora in the capital Baghdad, were predominantly Christian, but now have been emptied of their Christian residents, after Muslim extremists threatened to kill them unless they converted to Islam. The UNHCR says that nearly half of Iraqi asylum seekers reaching Syria since 2003 are Christians, despite the fact that Christians form only 4% of Iraq's population. In the UK, a new charity has been formed to provide help for Iraq's beleaguered Christian minority, both inside and outside the country. The charity Iraqi Christians in Need has been set up by a group of Iraqi exiles who are concerned about the worsening plight of the country's Christians. One of the charity's founders is Suha Rassam, an Iraqi Chaldean Catholic now living in England, who's written a book entitled Christianity in Iraq that traces the history of her country's ancient Christian minority. So does she see the current attacks against Christians in Iraq as akin to an ethnic cleansing or persecution?
To a large extent, it is correct that it is verging into a situation of ethnic cleansing.
And what is the most common form that this ethnic cleansing, this persecution of the Christians takes?
Well, it has started from the very early beginnings of 2003 in the form of threats, kidnappings, extortion. You may say this has affected all Iraqi citizens. That is true, but from the beginning it was more common among the Christians. Recently, however, there has been direct threats asking them to convert to Islam or leave their homes or pay the jizya. And in fact, many people the majority have left their homes. An area in Baghdad, which has been described as the Vatican of Iraq, El Dora, it was home to a large number of Christians. In fact, about 80% of the population of El Dora was Christian. This has been emptied of its population.
Do you think that the plight of the Christians in Iraq has been largely overlooked by the international community?
Certainly they have been. I have been looking very carefully to the large sort of national papers, especially here in England, and there's very little reference to them. And I have tried to make my voice heard into some of the national papers or TV programs. And the answer was that everybody is suffering from Iraq. Well, I agree that everybody is suffering, but there is a special situation for the Christians. First of all, they are not involved in any power struggle. They are not vying for power. They don't have militias to protect them. and they have been kidnapped, extorted of their money. Their livelihood was taken from them. They have been forced to evacuate their homes. Now, they haven't got areas to go to, safe areas to go to. Shiite Muslims are forcing Sunni Muslims from their areas, and the same happens to the Sunni Muslims. And both of them are becoming haven to each other, while for the Christians, they are being driven by both the Shia and Sunni jihadists, and they have nowhere to go to.
The ones that are still inside Iraq, how are they coping?
Very, very difficult, very extremely. Whoever, I have met several who have come here, and they are describing the situation as extremely hard, dire situation, really, where something needs to be done. It is hard not only to live daily, it has become even hard to bury the dead. They can't find a priest to accompany them or to take the corpses of their killed loved ones.
Of those that are left, how many do you think would like to leave Iraq if they could?
Well, every one of them would not like to leave Iraq because they feel it is their country, but they feel the situation, if it doesn't improve, I think all of them would like to.
So are many of them losing hope, do you think?
I'm sure there are, because not everybody has the capacity or the material capability of leaving. And when they are leaving, what are they facing? They are in limbo. They are in countries like Syria and Jordan. When they are accepted, even there, they have no jobs. Their children, many of them, have no possibility of going to schools. And they don't know what will happen to them. They have no money to buy houses or to settle anywhere. Even if they go back, their houses have been taken from them.
So how would you describe the morale of these Iraqis who have fled to these neighbouring countries in the Middle East?
I'm in touch with several, especially in Jordan and in Syria. One of them particularly, she lost her husband. She's a mother of two children. One is 9 months old and one is 3 years old. And she is in a deep depression, understandably. Her husband was killed during a car bomb accident, and she has been forced to sort of leave the country, and she really doesn't know what to do.
And what kind of help is she getting? How is she surviving?
She has a sister in Jordan, and she's helping her. And other than this, I don't know. Some friends, most of these people have got friends and relatives in Western countries who are sending these people money. They have become reduced to sort of, I won't call it begging, because their relatives are giving them for wholeheartedly. But it's not a very nice situation to be in, having been a professional in your own country, having had a house and everything, now to be dependent on some relative abroad.
And are they getting help from NGOs?
Not much. This is what compelled us, in fact, to start our charity. Most of them, the United Nations started to register them, but whoever I asked, they said they haven't done to us anything further.
The desperate plight of many of these displaced Iraqi Christians described by Suha there is amply borne out by the following testimony from an Iraqi Chaldean Catholic man. Tariq, along with his wife and three daughters, is now stranded in Jordan after being forced to flee from their home in Baghdad's Dora neighbourhood earlier this year. He told me how their life as they knew it came to a dramatic end one summer afternoon when they found a letter in their mailbox written by a group of Islamic fundamentalists.
So I opened the letter. And I read that they want me to enjoy their religion or to pay money or to have one of the girls. Otherwise, we will have to kill you with your family. So I take it inside. After half an hour, they ring the bell. But unfortunately, when I open the door, they come, three of them. They put me in a corner, and my wife and my daughters, three daughters, they put in another corner. So they were begging me to have money and to have gold. So I said, I don't have anything. They tried to hit me, to beat me. After that, there is no way. I give them 3,000 US dollars plus some of gold and some Iraqi money. It was 500,000. And then they want more than that. And they told me, you have to give us more or we will take one of your daughter.
Tariq says they were saved at that moment by the arrival of a US military patrol nearby, which prompted their assailants to hurriedly flee from his house.
So they went out immediately. And when he closed the door, he said, don't go out and don't shout. Otherwise, we will kill you and we will come back to you again.
So they didn't take your daughter?
No. I left to other house in the area, they call it Karada. I didn't take anything with me, only my clothes and my daughter's and my wife's clothes. And my car, I left to Karada because I have a relative there. I stay and I hide there for 20 days.
After several weeks of living in hiding, Tariq decided to leave for Jordan. But as he went on to tell us, his troubles didn't end there. On arriving in Amman, the airport authorities confiscated the passports of his wife and three daughters. And now he is living there illegally, neither able to leave to go to another country and terrified to go back to Iraq.
The Jordanians, they take my family's passport. They give me my passport. So now I have only my own passport. For the family is still in the airport. I cannot do anything. If I go there, they will send me back to Baghdad. It's very dangerous, and I cannot leave Jordan to go outside Jordan to any place in the world.
And if you go back to Baghdad, you fear you will be killed?
Yes, of course, definitely.
With so many Iraqis like Tariq driven from their homes following the 2003 invasion, what can and should the international community do to help? Well, to find out more, I spoke to Suha Rasam again.
Do you believe that the Americans and indeed other Western countries like Britain have a moral duty to offer more help to those forced to leave Iraq because of the sectarian violence and mayhem there?
I'm sure they have a moral responsibility, and we have been awaiting an action, whether to help them wherever they are in Syria, Jordan or other countries, or even giving some of them a refugee status.
Do the Iraqi refugees feel in some way rather forgotten and abandoned and disappointed, as you say, with the reluctance of Western countries to open their borders to them or even to offer financial help to those living in other countries?
Certainly they are. We are all disillusioned. We all Iraqis are disillusioned by seeing the Western countries not acting to deal with this dire situation.
Coming back again to the situation of Christians living inside Iraq, how many of them now can still go to church and celebrate Mass, or have most of the churches now shut because of threats, or people are simply too scared to go to Mass? What's the situation like for these Catholics inside Iraq now?
Within Baghdad and Mosul, most of the churches are not giving services, especially after the assassination of the priest Raghid. He was killed together with three of his deacons in front of his church, and that was in May. Another one was assassinated in 2006, and several priests have been kidnapped. And this sort of was the main reason for the decline in church services. This martyr, Raghid Ghanni, he had several threats, which he ignored and continued to say Mass, and in the end he had to be killed.
So, given this situation, how do you and other Iraqis, both inside and outside the country, feel about the future of the Christian community in Iraq? Has it got a future?
We are very worried and alarmed indeed. We do fear the worst, which is the elimination of this rich church or the presence of the Christian community. It has happened in other areas. It has happened in Turkey, if you remember the massacres in the 19th and early 20th century. It has a sort of emptied Turkey of its Christians, and a similar thing is happening now. And if no action is taken urgently, this may well happen.
Susie Hodges speaking there to Suha Rasa of the UK-based charity Iraqi Christians in Need.